Well, welcome to week three of recognizing, releasing, and flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. We're still recognizing.
Amen.
We still have another week of recognizing before we get to the releasing and the flowing. If you missed the first two in the series, we have tapes up here for you. You're welcome to those.
Okay.
Also, I had some people ask me if I would provide the characteristics and the descriptions of the gifts that we talked about last week, and so we have those up there as well. Last week we began a journey of discovery in understanding each of the gifts, how they're used in the church, and some of the major characteristics of people that have those gifts. Now, remember, I said major characteristics. So don't sit there and think, oh, well, I don't have that. Oh, no, I don't have that characteristic, so that must not be my gift. You may have that gift, and there's lots of characteristics, lots of traits, and God knows exactly what your gift is, what He's preparing you to do, and your responsibility is to yield, just to surrender. We also talked about the word gift, or in the Greek, charisma, meaning a divine gratuity or a spiritual endowment. It's a divine present that we put on like clothing. So I'm calling it my divine work clothes. We put on our work clothes to carry out the tasks that God has put before us. And in order to complete the work of the body here in the church and in the world. The purpose of understanding the gifts is basically to help us just open up our eyes and our hearts to be able to see what the gift is that God has placed within us and where we fit in the body. And sometimes that's a little bit of a struggle to figure out where we fit in ministry. What work outfit you're going to wear. We also talked about the fact that there's order and there's structure in the use of the gifts in the church. There's also order and structure in the way God placed them in the body. It has nothing to do with importance. So one gift is not any better than another gift. The prophet is no better than the person who has the gift of service. The structure or order has to do with relationship, one to another, and how the gifts are dependent with each other, how we're linked to each other, and to our head, Jesus. Also, there's diversity not only in the kinds of gifts, but there's diversity in the types of ministries that your gifts would be used in. Don't make the mistake of comparing yourself and your gift with someone else who has the same gift. Like I said last week, God doesn't just say, okay, here's Living Waters Church, so I'm going to give one person this, one person that, one person this, one person that. There may be three or four that have this gift, two that have that gift. Each one of us is different and unique ourselves. We're different and unique in the way that God uses us, and the results are going to be different and unique. Also, don't confuse spirituality with the greatness of your gift, or what you perceive as the lack of greatness in your gift. You're making a judgment call that God doesn't make. Our responsibility is just simply to obey the scriptures.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, if we say, I have the gift of, I'm a prophet, that's so much greater than this person who has the gift of service. We're perceiving that that gift is greater than this little old gift down here.
Spirituality.
Spirituality. Well, you know, we confuse how spiritual we are with the greatness of what we think God thinks of our gift. God has all of the gifts on the same level. It isn't bigger, smaller, greater, weaker. They're all on the same level. God uses them for specific purposes in the church to minister to the body, to equip the saints to minister to the body. We just simply obey the scriptures by doing the things that God leads us to do and fulfill the needs that are presented to us so that we can glorify Him.
You know, Maggie, you might compare it just like what you're doing right now compared to what they're doing in the kitchen.
Exactly.
Right.
No difference.
Same.
Right.
No difference.
And the ones in the kitchen shouldn't say, well, we're not getting to go in and listen to our teachers in class
right.
and having to work.
And being, and being jealousy, so, yeah. you know, of the gifts.
Or right. the other way around. I'm having to teach. I could just be over
and
there.
And I could just be over there sitting down, drinking coffee. And God wouldn't be waking me up every night, messing with me.
Right. Now you're teaching.
Now I'm teaching. Okay. The gifts of the Spirit stand on two great foundations. The first is unity, and the second is love. Spiritual gifts should work together. They should complement each other, and they should be used in love. Because when they aren't, they can be abused, and they can cause great trouble in the body, rather than bring blessing. Power without love can be disastrous.
Right.
But when love is applied to the spiritual gifts, it's like oil in a machine. All the parts work well together, and the equipment moves forward. It makes all the parts work well. It also makes us work well within our gift when we're doing it in love and we're not doing it to puff ourselves up, to look better, smarter, greater than anybody else. We also have to remember that at times, even a gift that is manifested in love may make those who are ignorant of it very uncomfortable. And we have had that in this church before, when people have used their spiritual gifts and a number of people in the church don't understand. And they're uncomfortable, and they begin to murmur amongst themselves. So we have to continue bringing patient teaching, not only in the Sunday school, but in small groups, in the church itself, and individually, to help believers, all believers, to come to a place of acceptance and understanding that God has these things for us. He intends for us to use them. He wants us, like I've said before, to be blessed and fulfilled in a way we could not be otherwise. So, last week we dealt with the fivefold ministry gifts. Those were the governmental gifts, leadership gifts, that of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. I'm going to step out on a limb here. Before I go on, I'm going to tell you that there is at least one person in this class who has the gift of shepherding. They may not know it completely yet, but God is beginning to reveal truth to them. So a word for everyone, don't be scared that you're going to make a mistake. God has a great big safety net to catch you. And don't worry that you're going to mess it up. God's got an even bigger whiteout bottle. He can fix all the messes. And no one gets hurt. It's a part of just growing, learning, moving in something maybe we haven't moved in before. We're going to make mistakes, and God knows that. But He is loving and kind. He will repair whatever damage we think we've done. It's in our mind that we think we've damaged something. God takes care of all of that. He has a provision of grace to take care of all the issues that we come up with. A lot of times those are just excuses that we use not to step out in ministry. I'm afraid I'm going to make a mistake. I'm afraid I'm not really gifted in this, and so I'm going to do this wrong.
Just step out. Be us instead of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
God uses us.
Yes, he does. That's why he uses us, you know, because we're human. And we relate differently to each other. And God wants to bless us and fulfill us in our lives, in our spiritual walk. Would someone read 1 Corinthians 12:7-11 for me? 12:7-11. You've got it.
Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing, gifts of healing, by the same, that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, still to another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines.
Okay, like we've talked about the last couple of weeks, each one of us has a gift, at least one dominant gift. God designed it, and he placed it where he wanted it. And he placed the person with that gift in the body where he wanted them. So they are divinely given, they are different, and they're dependent. It's God's design, not our design. The word manifestation in the Greek is phanerosis, which is an exhibition or an expression. Manifestation gifts are the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit within a believer in a given situation to demonstrate his power. They will affect the way that you minister. You'll begin to look at needs through the eyes of your gift. Now again, these are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in unknown tongues, interpretation of unknown tongues. We can put those gifts in three groups. The first is revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. These gifts reveal something. Then there are the power gifts, faith, healing, miracles. These gifts do something. And then finally, it's the utterance gifts, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. These gifts say something. So we're going to take each one of them quickly like we did last time and just give a description and the characteristics. The word of wisdom, this is Sophia in the Greek, meaning insight or skill or intelligence. This is a supernatural provision of God that provides direction in specific situations. This gift allows the believer to know the mind of the Holy Spirit in such a way to receive insight into how given understanding can best be applied in a particular situation. People with this gift have the ability to diagnose problems and apply resources. They know how to get to the heart of the problem quickly. They have little difficulty in making decisions. They provide divinely given solutions in the midst of conflict. They hear the Spirit provide direction for God's best in each situation. Word of knowledge is epignosis or perception, recognition. This is a supernatural revelation of facts past, present, or future, which were not learned through the efforts of the natural mind. The Spirit enables certain Christians to understand in a supernatural way the great truths of God's Word and gives them the ability to share those truths in clear and concise ways. A person with a word of knowledge can usually put their finger on the right word from God's Word for the need that is presented. People with that gift love to study. They have an ability to know and understand God's Word. In studying God's Word, they have found new insights and understanding, and difficult subjects or passages come easy to them. They receive truth, which enables them to better serve the body, and they gain knowledge which was not attained by natural means. The third in the Revelation group is discerning of spirits. It's the same word as knowledge, epignosis, a perception or a recognition. And this is the ability that God gives to some to know with assurance whether certain behaviors or teachings are from God, are from Satan, are from human error, or just plain human power. That enablement that God gives helps them to distinguish between truth and error and discern the spirits, whether they are angelic hosts or demonic. People with this gift can, again, distinguish truth from error and pure motives from impure. They identify deception in others with accuracy. And they determine whether a word attributed to God is authentic. They're able to sense the presence of evil spirits and their activities. Now in the power gifts, faith is pistis, fidelity or trust. This is the supernatural ability to confidently believe without a doubt that whatever we act or speak in Jesus' name, that it will come to pass. It's a special conviction that God gives to some to be absolutely firmly persuaded in His power and His promises to accomplish what He says He will do, and nothing is going to shake it. No obstacles that come their way will shake this confidence that they have that God is going to fulfill His word and His promise. People with this gift have an ability to combat unbelief. They act in complete confidence of God's ability to overcome any obstacle. They ask God for what's needed, and they trust Him for His provision. They have an attitude of trusting God's word that they will not doubt no matter what happens, no matter what it looks like. They don't change their conviction. Healing, Iahoma, means I heal. It is a supernatural healing of infirmities and diseases for the glory of God. And that special ability God gives to some to serve as a human instrument through whom it pleases Him to cure illnesses and diseases and restore health. Now, the gift, when it says gifts of healing, this might be physical, it might be spiritual, it might be mental, it might be emotional. It's not just, a lot of times we get it in our head that healing is just physical. You know, it's an illness or a disease of the body. It can encompass all of those areas. It encompasses the whole person. So if the gift of healing is within you, it may be that God uses that gift of healing only in the emotional realm. It might be that He uses that gift of healing only in the physical realm. It might be that He uses them in all the areas. The next one is miracles. Let me go back to healing. The people with this gift bring restoration to the sick and diseased. They authenticate a message from God through healing. They pray, touch, or speak words that miraculously bring restoration. Miracles is dunamis, might, or power. This is the ability God gives to some to serve as a human intermediary, a human instrument, that to perform acts of supernatural power that are recognized by others to have altered the course of nature. And it authenticates God's power. People with this gift have the power to intervene and counteract earthly and evil forces. They usually, this gift operates very closely with the gifts of healing and with faith. These people can, through God's power, take authority over sin, Satan, sickness, and all binding forces. They display a power that goes beyond natural understanding. Now, in the utterance gifts, prophecy, you're going to see that prophecy is spoken of in the manifestation gifts. It's also mentioned in the motivational gifts, which we'll do next week. They operate just a little differently in each gifting. Prophecy in the manifestation gifts is communicating and enforcing a revealed truth. It's a special gift where the Spirit empowers certain Christians to interpret and apply God's revelation in a given situation. People with this, and these people are not necessarily prophets. Remember, we talked about prophets last week. Just because you have the gift of prophecy does not mean that you are the prophet set in a governmental or leadership position in the body. People with this gift have a tendency to make quick judgments on what is seen and heard. They are usually very verbal. They're loyal to the truth. They're serious and they're dedicated. They have a tendency to be painfully direct when correcting others. And they expose sin or deception in others for the purpose of reconciliation. And then various kinds of tongues. Glossa is a language of flowing speech. When it talks about various kinds of tongues is in a gifting, this is talking about the special ability to speak in an unknown language, whether it is simply unknown to us or it is an angelic language. It also can be a known language in another area, another country, another community. So it may just be an unknown language to me or you, to us as a body. This special ability that God gives to some to speak prayer or praise in a language they've never learned, or to communicate a message from God to his people. In this gifting, this is not what we talk about as a prayer language. This is a special gifting that is given in the body and for the body. So it's prayer, praise, or a message from God given for the body. It is completely out of order if it is given and no one interprets it. There must be an interpretation. Otherwise, it does not edify the body. It doesn't bring the body up. It doesn't tell them anything. It's just an unknown language that's being spoken. So, people with this gift may receive a spontaneous message from God, which is made known to his body through the accompanying gift of interpretation. Someone must interpret the gift.
Doesn't the Bible pretty much explain that? And Paul, when he said that basically if there's no interpretation, you need to stop.
Stop.
Because actually the person that gets that may not know. They're not responsible for the obedience of someone to interpret it. So if they're out of obedience and won't interpret a word in tongues, then they don't need to keep doing it.
Right. That's right.
But I think a lot of times we never hear that because people are afraid there won't be an interpretation.
They're afraid. Right. Again, we're afraid to step out.
Yeah,
take
right.
the risk.
Right.
You know, get up.
Yeah.
Use our mouth. Let God yeah. use our tongue to say whatever it is he wants to say. Someone, if it's from the Lord and he has anointed you with that gifting, he will provide the interpretation.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry. Right. So the gift of interpretation then is the enablement to build up the church by interpreting God's message for his people. So again, like we talked about last week, all the gifts relate to one another. God gives a revelation. I have faith in the revelation given by God, and I act on it. And then God supplies the power to bring the revelation to pass, whether it's a healing, or it's a miracle, or it's a word of wisdom, or a word of knowledge, or a word in tongues, an interpretation. When God brings the revelation, He provides all of the necessary gifts to go along with, in order to build up the body, in order to glorify Himself, to fulfill our purpose within the body. The gifts operate in relationship together. We only separate them out to talk about them and define them. But God never intended that the gifts be separate and that they be distinct. Okay, well, you know, in this church, we only have people who have the gift of giving. We don't really look at those other gifts. No. All of the gifts are available. God has placed all of them within the body. It's our problem because we don't recognize, we don't allow God to bring to our understanding what our gift is and help us to begin to step out in faith and use them. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to be effective fellow workers. And in order to do that, in the body, we have to be able to worship with the utterance gifts. We have to be able to hear from Him with the revelation gifts. And we have to be able to work for Him with the power gifts. They all work together. The aim of God is to raise up a strong army that is equipped to do the same works that Jesus did. Spiritual gifts in operation are part of that purpose. And like I've said repeatedly, the gifts are to profit all. They're not just to puff you up. They're not just there to edify you. They're there to edify the whole body, to bring the body up, to equip them. Jesus, the apostles, the early believers moved in these gifts, and like Bruce said 3 weeks ago, they saw it as a normal part of life. Likewise it is for us. It is a normal part of life in the Spirit. And that's the way we're supposed to be living, is in the Spirit. Now let's say that I have the dominant gift of giving. And someone comes to me and says, Maggie, I know that you're a believer in Jesus. I've been diagnosed with cancer. So, would God heal me? And would you pray for me? And I say, of course God would heal you. Let me pray for you. And I pray for them that God would heal this person. That's our natural reaction, right? Okay, but where are we living? We're supposed to be living in the spiritual life. So, what if instead I said, Father, I need a word about what you want me to do in this situation? And God says to me, you need to talk about the relationship with Jesus. Okay. So I begin speaking to this person about their personal relationship with Jesus, not their illness. And I find that they've never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. So I present the plan of salvation to them. And as this person prays for salvation, God says to me, touch them and believe. Okay, God. So I do what the Father says. This person is praying for salvation. I touch them and I believe whatever God wants to do is going to happen. And immediately the person receives Jesus as Savior and they are healed. Now.
Along those lines also, there's, God may sometimes give you a word of knowledge that that person is in unforgiveness or something along those lines.
Exactly.
You know, that's blocking them from occurring.
Exactly.
And, you know, so you deal with that, you know. And
right. But the point is getting out of our natural thinking and getting into the spiritual life where God uses us with the gifts of the Spirit in every situation that presents itself.
Well, it's so cool what you just explained too. You said, Lord, what do I do? So Scripture says if you lack wisdom, ask. He'll give it to you abundantly. So that's the right procedure.
Right.
If you don't know, instead of just jumping out there and fishing without any hooks.
Right. Because God responds to the needs presented, He works through us in the power of the Holy Spirit as He designs. The gifts are within us. Yes, you will have at least one dominant gift, but the gifts are within us. If that same situation came up and the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, they need salvation, hold on a minute. Let me find the evangelist in the church. There's someone that has that gift, and I'll bring them over, and they can deal with this. No. God wants to use you, and He is going to fill you and use you. He is going to present the needs to you, and He's also going to empower you to handle the need that is presented. When Peter and Paul and the other apostles went through the cities, they were working in their dominant gift as apostles. They were there to establish new ministries. They were there to write letters, the scriptures, basically. But other needs arose wherever they went. And God met the needs through them every time. It wasn't their dominant gift, but God used them through the power of the Holy Spirit each time to meet the need that was presented. The Holy Spirit within you is like the power station. You're just the light bulb that illuminates and gives light and life. God wants to flow. He wants the power to flow out of you and bring that light and that life. God does what He chooses, and He uses whoever is surrendered to Him as the need presents itself. The body of Christ is not just a gathering of believers. It's a supernatural body that has organs that relate to each other and function in the gifts. And those supernatural gifts are needed to reap the harvest that comes before the Lord Jesus returns. As we seek to be led by the Spirit and we press in to the spiritual gifts that God has for us, we're going to begin, as I said last week, to see His power and His presence manifested in ways that we cannot, in our little natural minds, imagine when we assemble together as the body. If the disciples who had the Holy Spirit upon them utilized the gifts of the Spirit to walk before God powerfully, then is God going to do something less for us? He's going to do the very same for us. If we don't use our gift, we cripple our own spiritual life. And as I've said, we withhold someone else's miracle. That continues to be my driving force in recognizing, understanding, releasing, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. We have to let God flow through us in the gifts that He gave us so that we can bless others and so that we can be fulfilled. As you begin to get more involved in the ministry that God sets you in, or where you think you may have a gift, you're soon going to find out if this gift is indeed a passion from God. And if it is, you are going to feel more alive than you have ever felt before. And that is going to confirm the fact that that is the passion, the gift that God has placed within you. It's our responsibility then to continue to take the risk, step out, begin to minister. God will help you learn. He'll modify. He'll help you to grow in your spiritual gift. He's going to give opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for you to use that gift and become more mature in how you use it and develop your own spiritual life, a different spiritual life than you've had up till now, once you really begin operating in the gifts of the Spirit.
Now, you know, Tony, one thing, I need to apologize to Lottie for one thing, but the obedience in that is so important. And when anybody was here last week, I gave a plug for Sunday school. I gave that because I had a word about, you know, that the time that we're entering the season, it's already begun, an increase in signs and wonders in the body, but it was imperative that you be taught and learn so you might believe. That was the word of knowledge or prophetic, whatever you'd say that is. But when he was giving me that, he said, and I'm going to start by healing knees, and I wasn't obedient to give that word. And both of my knees were hurting so for about 2 weeks, maybe. Why I didn't do it, but both knees got healed instantly when I said that. And then 2 days later, I jumped off my truck again. And I was in the feed store that afternoon, and Kathy came by and said, well, let me pray for you. And she prayed over my knee and healed again. It took 2 days the second time. But the first time, it was when I gave that word. And God told me the person, especially as far, and I wasn't obedient for that. And I need to tell them, repent to them. Because they may have missed their opportunity because I wasn't obedient.
We're withholding the miracle.
So that's how that all works together.
That's right.
And so sometimes it's just hard. You have to practice that obedience because we don't have that real confidence because we're not used to, to flowing in it.
Exactly.
That's why we're all here now. Why everyone's in this room right now.
Amen.
Right. And God is going to build that confidence within you every time you step out and take the risk. And, you know, you can begin small. Begin by just, when you feel an urging for a particular person, just begin by praying for them. Take the first step. God's going to fill in all the gaps. He's going to fill in what you need to do next. He'll instruct you. He'll lead you. He's a good God. He loves us.
What do you think it looked like when we were standing at the feed store? Kathy got on her knees and started laying hands on me in the feed store.
Hey, amen. That's okay.
That's right.
If it doesn't make sense, it might be God.
It might be God.
That's right.
Frank,
how many other people did that touch just to see that?
Just to see it. Right. Because also the supernatural use of gifts is also for unbelievers to see the power of God.
Even if they mock it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Bruce, would you close in prayer for us?
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord. And thank you for your presence here, God. We just thank you, Lord, for this teaching. God, I pray that this evening has been sown, Lord, would just be sealed in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit.